today on Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley.
One of the greatest things that hinders our ability to sense, feel, hear God in our lives is when we have a sinful situation, a sin that we have not confessed and have not repented of, will block your closeness with God.
Welcome to Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley of Alfred Street Baptist Church, an inspiring weekly series that will provide practical life applications and motivate you to step out of the shadows and move forward in your faith.
This week in part two of a sermon entitled, When You Can't Find God, Pastor Wesley uses Job 23, 1 through 10 to offer practical solutions to the moments in our lives when God seems hidden. Let's listen in.
If you go home and read Mark chapter 5, you'll find that there's an occasion where Jesus encounters a man who's possessed by a demon. The demon's name is Legion because he's many. And when Jesus gets ready to cast the demon out, the demon has a conversation with Jesus and makes a prayer request. The demon speaks to Jesus, and this is what he asks him. He said, listen, I know you're going to get me out. I know you're going to kick me out. I know I got to go. But don't cast me out of this region. The demon says, listen, don't make me leave this region because this is my home. This is where I set up my stronghold because different regions are affected by different demons. And so when you travel around the world, especially in the United States, you'll find that there are different regions of our land that are affected by different demonic strongholds that are meant to prevent you from intimacy with God. The same thing that affects the Deep South does not affect this area or up in the North or out West. There are different demonic regions. The reason I say that is that the demonic stronghold in the DMV, in this DC area, with all you movers and shakers, with all the politicians and lawmakers, with all you working up on the hill, with all of you entrepreneurs, with all of you military personnel, with all of you government contractors, where everybody's climbing up the corporate ladder, everybody's trying to do something, the demonic stronghold that affects this area that made people be quiet when I say avoid the trappings of busyness is because what makes us who we are in this area is being busy. And if you're not busy, you're not important. And so in order to prove that we are somebody, we attach ourselves to this and join this organization and sit on this board and go to school and work a job and raise our kids. And so we become addicted to being busy as if being busy means you are important. And so you join everything, sit on every board, operate in every this. Why are you in charge of three ministries at church? And could it be that Jesus shows up in your life to say to you what Jesus said to Martha? You are worried about too, you got too much going on. And I want to challenge you this morning. If you really want to be intimate with God, you want to feel God, you want to hear God, you want to see the broadcast, you want to hear the programming, you want to get close to the Lord, I want to challenge you to do three things. Number one, I want to challenge you to learn to say no. Somebody get me this tape. I'm preaching to myself. You had to learn to say no. Hear me, my brother, my sister. Every open door is not an ordained opportunity. And one of the ways the devil brings us out of intimacy with God is by opening up a new door that you and your ego decide you want to add to your resume. And so you connect yourself into something else thinking it makes you something when all it does is pull you away from your relationship with the Lord because everything that comes your way, God hasn't ordained you to do. You got to learn to say no to things and people. As a matter of fact, let's have a test run. Here it is. Look your neighbor, eyeball to eyeball. You ready? And just tell them no. I'm just getting you ready. I want you to learn to say no. Number two, I want you to learn to be disconnected at times. I went through church this morning to greet members and worshipers, and 9 out of 10 of y'all on the pew. Here I come walking by you. Hey, Pastor. You're too connected. And there have to be some times when you just disconnect yourself. And the third challenge I want to put forth you is not only learn to say no, not only to be disconnected, but learn how to rest. Now, I know that's a four-letter word. But you've got to learn how to rest. Notice as God shapes Israel as a people to worship him, he commands them to have a Sabbath. Now, many of us, when we hear about the commandment of Sabbath, we automatically think worship. Oh, the Lord created Sabbath because there must be a day that the Lord wants us to worship. The Sabbath was not primarily about worship. The Sabbath was about rest. Here's what the Lord knows. You can't worship me if you're not rested. Because you can't hear me when you're ripping and running all the time. You can't devote yourself to me when you're joining everything and giving yourself to everything and everybody. You can't give me the best of you when you're too connected and have too much going on. You've got to learn how to rest. And there is something fundamentally wrong with the balance of your life if you fall asleep in church. Don't blame the preacher. If you are not rested, you cannot worship. And what's the point of trying to worship if you're too tired because you're trying to do too much because you are burdened with busyness? And it will keep you from feeling intimate with God. So he pulls out my entertainment stand. He untangles all the cords. And he says, oh, here's your second problem. Your cable box is not plugged into the outlet in the wall. How do you expect to get a broadcast if you're not plugged into the power source? How do you expect to hear if you're not plugged in? How do you expect to get anything if you're not connected to the source? And could the problem be, if it's not that you're burdened with busyness, could the problem be number two, you just have a poor prayer life? You will never hear, sense, feel God close in your world if you do not know how to spend time in prayer. Prayer is what plugs you up to God. Prayer is what keeps you connected to God. Prayer is what allows you to receive the power of God. And could it be that you don't feel God, hear God, or sense God because your prayer life is poor? You've got to learn how to pray. My brother and my sister's Christianity Today, a magazine about Christian living, has an article out a little while back, and they noted that most church-going Christians pray less than 15 minutes a day. No wonder your life is so messed up. 15 minutes a day. Problems up to here. 15 minutes a day. Enemies all around. 15 minutes a day. Children driving you crazy. Co-workers getting on your nerves. And you pray less than 15 minutes a day. Now, the problem with that is that some of us are very dedicated and devoted to our scandal on Thursday night. You got your TV set. Your friends come over, y'all sit, don't nobody move for a whole hour. As a matter of fact, you're so dedicated to scandal, folk in your world know, don't call me between 10 o'clock and 11 on Thursday, because I'm watching Scandal, and you are dedicated and devoted and motionless for an hour of commitment to Olivia Pope. And the Lord says, I only get 15 minutes of your day. How can you expect to be close to God if you can't give dedicated time to God in prayer? There ought to be some moments in your life where everybody connected to you knows, don't call me at this hour in the morning. Don't bother me at this hour at night, because this is when the Lord and I are plugged in. And I want to challenge you to increase the quality and the quantity of your prayer life. You will never hear, sense, feel God move the way God wants to when you've got a poor prayer life, when you're burdened with busyness. So he untangles my cords, plugs it into the wall, turns on my TV, and says, oh, here's your third problem. Your TV's on the wrong input. Now, if you got a good TV, it ought to have several inputs, because there are different components that want to be on your screen. There are different things that want to have your attention. There are different things that want to speak to you. But you've got to choose the input that gets you what you really need and not what they want you to have. And the problem with some of us is your life is on the wrong input. So watch it. If it's not that you're burdened with busyness, if it's not that you have a poor prayer life, maybe it'd be number three, that you have issues with idolatry. Go on, use biblical words, Pastor. You know what an idol is? An idol is not just some statue you bow down to and worship. No, no, no. An idol is anything or anyone you're connected to who has a greater priority in your life than God. Paul, stop, rewind, define it again. An idol is anything or anyone you're connected to who has a greater priority in your life than God. Somebody said, Reverend, I don't get that. Well, that simply means that it, she, him can become an idol if they get more time, energy, and priority from you than God. So your boo can be an idol. Your children can be an idol. Your commitment to your television show can be an idol. Your membership at Planet Fitness can be an idol, because they get more from us than the Lord does, and we prioritize them over our relationship with God. And let me tell you something, God doesn't take second place well.
You've been listening to part two of When You Can't Find God, here on Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley. We'll be right back. Men, are you looking for an awesome experience which will allow you to become the man God has designed you to be? If so, Alfred Street Baptist Church presents our 2016 Men's Retreat entitled Excellence Without Excuses, Manhood 2016, at the Sandy Cove Conference Center in Sandy Cove, Maryland, July 22nd through 24th. We're inviting all men to unite with other men from all backgrounds and walks of life to talk about real and relevant issues facing the men of today. Men, you will walk away from this retreat with the confidence to fulfill your destiny. So register online today at alfredstreet.org.
You've been listening to Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley of Alfred Street Baptist Church. To download this week's message in its entirety or to support this ministry financially, visit alfredstreet.org. Remember, Alfred Street Baptist Church has four opportunities for you to worship with us every weekend, in person and or online. Please visit alfredstreet.org for details.
And now back to part two of When You Can't Find God with Pastor Howard John Wesley.
He tells Israel, I am a jealous God. And if you want something other than me, you can have it. But don't expect me to be close to you. Don't expect to hear me. Don't expect to sense me. Don't expect to feel me if everything and everyone gets greater priority in your life than I do. Someone say, Reverend, how do I know if I have an idol? Here, I'm giving you two questions. Two questions to help you identify if you have an idol. You ready? Number one, what's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? If the first thing you do is jump out of bed so you can get your way to work, you got an idol. First thing you do is run upstairs to get the kids ready, you have an idol. The first thought on your mind is getting up early so you can get to the gym before you go to work. You have an idol. Because the very first thing you ought to do when you wake up in the morning is to kneel down and invoke and invite the presence of God to guide you, to comfort you, to shield you, to walk with you. Listen, I don't mean to make an indictment, but I declare that there is something wrong about a Christian who wakes up without prayer. There's something wrong with a disciple of Jesus Christ that would dare get the day started and not invite and invoke the presence of the Holy Spirit to guide them throughout the day. When you wake up in the morning, before your feet touch the side of your bed, before you wipe the sleep out of your eye, before you brush the funk out of your mouth, the very first thing that ought to come out of your heart is, Lord, I thank you for another brand new day. And God, I need you today more than I needed you yesterday. God, I'm grateful that you allowed me to see today come. And God, just walk with me today. Talk with me today. Fill my heart today. God, tell me what you want me to do. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing you ought to do is call on the name of God. That's the first question. What do you do first thing in the morning? Here's the second thing I can tell if you have an idol. When things go wrong, who's the first person you call? Some of you got a friend so close, when they go wrong, you calling him, you calling her. Maybe you want to share your day with your romantic interest of the time. Maybe you got to call your mama, your daddy. But when things go wrong, if your first call is not to God, that shows where you go to for your strength. That's where you run to for your help. And maybe the problem is that your life is not prioritized correctly. You've got some issues with idolatry. Burdened with busyness, poor prayer life, issues with idolatry. So he untangles my cords, plugs me in, puts me on the right input. Then he looks down at my box and says, here's your fourth problem. Your box needs updating. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, we're broadcasting in HD, but you haven't updated the box yet. And so the signal we're trying to send you is greater than the box will allow. You have limited what the signal can be based upon the box that you have. That the signal is greater. We want to show you more. We want to do more. We got some brand new stuff that we are able to do on your TV. We can show you the weather. We can help MapQuest your directions. We can help you watch movies on demand. But your box has limited what signal it can receive because it's not been updated. And because your box is limited, your broadcast is hindered. Can I help you real quick? The fourth thing that will keep you from sensing God, feeling God, hearing God is when you are distanced by doubt. Hear me, my brothers and my sisters. Your doubt, your unbelief, your lack of faith will limit your ability to experience all the great and the glorious things that God wants to perform in your life. Your doubt will hinder the hand of God. Your doubt will limit the vision of God. Your doubt will hold back what God wants to do in your life. I know I'm in the Bible now because the Bible says in Mark chapter 6 that when Jesus went to his hometown of Nazareth, that the people doubted him. They did not believe him. They didn't think he was who he said he was. And in Mark chapter 6 verse number 5, the Bible says that Jesus could do no great work because of their unbelief. So it means that in Nazareth, their doubt hindered their ability to see the miraculous hand of Jesus work in their town. Jesus said, I wanted to do more. I wanted to show y'all my glory. I wanted to heal diseases. I wanted to make ways in your situation. But because you doubted me, I could not do it because I will never do more than your faith believes I am able to do. Can I push it? And so after that, whenever Jesus encountered somebody, he did a faith test before he blessed them. I need to know if you believe I can do it, because if you don't believe I can do it, then I will not do it. So he asked Martha, do you believe your brother can get up from the dead? Because if you believe it, then I'll do it. He asked the man at the pool of Bethesda, do you want to be made well? Because if you believe you can be made well, then I will make you well. I need to know, what do you believe? And I don't know who I came to preach to right here, but I came by to challenge you to take the limits of your faith off of God and just believe that God is able to do whatever needs to be done. If it's a miracle, God can do it. If it's an enemy, God can handle it. If it's sickness, God can heal it.
You just got to believe that God is able. I don't know what kind of God you serve, but I came by to declare some scripture. Now unto him who is able. Now unto him who is able to do. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You've got to believe that God is able to do it. So if you're doubting, it'll block the broadcast. If you've got issues with idolatry, it'll block the broadcast. If you got a poor prayer life, it'll block the broadcast. If you're burdened with busyness, it'll block the broadcast. And so he untangled my wires, plugged me up, put me on the right input, and started the update on my cable box. Then he says, "Where's your phone?" I said, "Why?" He said, "I need to call the home office." I said, wait. If we're untangled, we're plugged up on the right input and updating, why you got to call the office? He said, "Well, because we may have one more problem." I said, "What's that problem?" He said, "Well, I need to make sure your bill is paid." Because if your bill ain't paid, you won't get the signal. If you have a debt that's not been paid, you won't hear. If you got a price that hasn't been paid, you won't see. And could it be that one of the greatest things that hinders our ability to sense, feel, hear God in our lives is when we have a sinful situation? A sin that we have not confessed and have not repented of will block your closeness with God. I believe I'm in biblical ground. The Bible says in Psalm 66:18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayers." That when I've got sin that's not been dealt with, it affects my prayer life. And listen, that's why the devil wants you to become comfortable in a sinful situation and not confess and repent. Because he knows that the end result of you living in a sinful situation will cause you to lose intimacy with God. So watch this, saints. So you could be coming to church, you could be reading your Bible, you could be trying to be nice to folk you don't even like on general Christian principle. But if there's one area of sin that you and God don't deal with, it messes all that up. Watch me, because the devil knows that when I've got an area of sin that I won't confess and won't repent of, the ultimate result is that it will ruin my prayer life. Can I teach for a moment? Because when you pray, prayer is the one place you can't pretend to be something you ain't. Now in church, you can act holy. Matter of fact, your neighbor thinks you are sin-free. But when you bow before God, you know that God knows. And so how can I go to God and beg God to bless me on my job when God knows what I'm doing at home is wrong? And so you're aware of that. But since you won't confess and won't repent and stay in the sinful situation, the end result has to be that your prayer life is affected, because you know you can't really pray authentically and not deal with sin. Here's what David said. I want to close with this. David, when he commits adultery with Bathsheba, and he writes his psalm of repentance in Psalm 51.
And verse number 3, here's what David said. He said, Lord, my sin is ever before me. Here's literally what he says, Theron. He says, my sin is always in front of me. And there's nowhere I can go where my sin isn't in front of my vision. So even though I did it at home, when I get to church, it's right here. Even though I did it on my job, when I bow in prayer, it's right here. Because the Lord says, you're going to have to see this thing until you want to confess it. You can't go anywhere and pretend to be righteous and not see the sin. It convicts your heart. The Lord has a way of making you realize this ain't been dealt with yet. You'd be sitting in church trying to worship, and your ex-sin walk in the door. He says, you gotta deal with this. And if there's sin that's not been dealt with, there's a debt that hasn't been paid, and it's gonna interfere with what God wants to do. But here's the good news. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 said, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. I looked up that word all in Greek. You know what all in Greek means? All. Everything. That there is nothing I do that cannot be paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. That all I have to do is confess and repent. So he untangled my wires, plugged me in, put me on the right input, updated my box, and while he was calling Verizon, I looked at him and said, hey, my bill is paid. Is your bill paid?
You've been listening to Faith Forward with Pastor Howard John Wesley of Alfred Street Baptist Church. To download this week's message in its entirety or to support this ministry financially, visit alfredstreet.org. Remember, Alfred Street Baptist Church has 4 opportunities for you to worship with us every weekend, in person and or online. Please visit alfredstreet.org for details.